Well, I want to throw a little puzzle at you, and it comes from the third chapter of Philippians, beginning at verse 12. Paul says this, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So in verse 12, Paul says that he is already not perfect. He admits to not being perfect. But in verse 15, he says, "Let those of us who are mature think this way." Those two English words, perfect and mature, actually come from the same Greek word family. In fact, you could translate verse 15 like this, "Let those of us who are perfect think this way." In other words, Paul says, "I am not already perfect, but let those of us who are perfect think this way." How can Paul say that he's not perfect and yet he also is? I could do a lot of explaining, but I'm not going to do a lot of explaining. Instead, I'm just going to give you Paul's basic idea, and this is it. Christian maturity is a lifelong pursuit, and we can be mature now. Christian maturity is a lifelong pursuit, and we can be mature now. I think sometimes we see Christian maturity as a far-off, distant goal, something that will only happen after many, many years if it happens at all. But Paul says, let those of us who are mature think this way. Paul takes it for granted that there are some, perhaps many, in the church at Philippi who are mature. And that's because Paul doesn't define maturity by age or by Bible knowledge or by years in the church. He describes mature people as those who see differently, as those who relate to others differently, and as those who desire differently, all because they belong to the King. Another way to picture this is to say that mature Christians are those whose eyes, hands, and hearts have all been changed by Christ. So in this short little wrap-up, I want to give three traits of Christian maturity that we find in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And the first one is that maturity looks beyond our circumstances. Maturity looks beyond our circumstances. Our eyes have been changed. We see things differently because we belong to the King. We see things differently. We saw this in chapter 1 with Paul's second sight. Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Most people would look at Paul's situation and say, man, that's really bad. I mean, the Apostle Paul is in prison. Things cannot be good. He can't see things as good. But Paul says, actually, as far as the gospel goes, things are great. My ticket to jail has given me access to the whole imperial guard. And now I'm telling them who really runs the world. And it's not Caesar. Paul had a deeper way of seeing the world and all that was happening around him. And it's not that Paul didn't face facts. It's not that he was a Pollyanna, if you remember who Pollyanna was, just always playing a glad game and not really tuned into reality. Paul was tuned into reality. But he saw beyond the surface of his circumstances to what the Lord was really doing all around him and through him. Another way you could say it is that Paul may have been in prison, but he wasn't a prisoner of his circumstances. Paul's changed eyes even allowed him to see his own death differently. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain," he says in 1:21. In 2:17-18, he says, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you all should be glad and rejoice with me." Even if Paul dies for the sake of the gospel, He will rejoice. And he says the Philippians should rejoice with him as well. Rejoicing itself is all about having a new pair of eyes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Our rejoicing is rejoicing in the Lord, as we saw last week. We rejoice because Jesus came, he died, he rose, he ascended, and he reigns at the right hand of God. And that gives us a holy defiance that says circumstances aren't the ultimate thing. They don't get the final say because Jesus himself does. Others might not see that. They might not have the vision to see that, but we do. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Because we are in Christ, we already see things differently than we did before we were in Christ. We are already mature to a degree. But we continue to pursue knowing Christ so that our vision can become ever sharper, right? So that's number one. Maturity helps us to see differently. Number two, maturity gives itself away. Maturity gives itself away. Because we belong to the King, our hands have changed. And this is largely about our posture toward other people. And kind of throughout the letter, I've summarized this in the formula, because X, not Y, but Z. Whatever our status, our role, our position, our relationship to one another, because X, we don't use it for our own selfish gain, not Y. But we use it to selflessly give ourselves in love, but Z. And this all goes back to the powerful hymn in chapter 2, which Paul opens with the instruction, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus was in the form of God, yet he didn't use his hands to take from us. Instead, he gave his hands to the nails that bound him to the cross for us. And he did that precisely because he was and is God. And now we are his hands on the earth. We are owners in the family business of advancing the gospel. We put our skin in the game so that others can come to know Christ and benefit and receive his life, that soul in the game. And again, this is deeply ingrained, I believe, in the character of our church. There is a lot of maturity that is evident in how we use our hands right now. And yet we're always called further up and further in. And then finally, number three, maturity treasures Christ and pursues him. Maturity treasures Christ and pursues him. A sign that someone is mature in Christ is that their heart has changed. And when the heart changes, the eyes and the hands change too. Maturity treasures Christ above all else and keeps moving toward him. Here's Paul from chapter 3. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Clearly, according to Paul, the Christian life is not a self-help project. It is pursuing Christ in greater and greater love. I trust him, and therefore I don't need to perform for him. I don't have to check things off a list, and I don't have to add to my resume to be secure in Christ. And I don't have to wonder if I've fallen out of God's favor because I failed this week. Paul says that knowing Christ far surpasses all of those games. We don't have to perpetually try out for God's love. He's already included us in his family. We are already his beloved children. That means our hearts have changed. We are growing in love for God and for others, and we will continue growing in that way until our final breath. We haven't arrived. None of us has. We're not perfect in the sense of being fully complete. But Christ Jesus has made us his own. So our perfection has already begun. Our perfection has already begun. We already see signs of it in our eyes, in our hands, and in our hearts. We have Christian maturity now. In fact, you are probably more mature than you realize. And we press on toward the day when God will complete what he's begun in us, when we will be fully perfect in the day of Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Amen.